In spite of their borrowings, however, many of these regimes, probably most of them, remained more authoritarian and traditionally conservative in nature than being quite as purely fascist as the Italian fascist regime itself. But nonetheless, when one considers democracy and democratic states giving way to dictatorships in Central and Eastern Europe, the record is quite harrowing. After that initial burst of democratic enthusiasm after World War I, in the post-war period, dictatorships proliferated. They included dictatorships in Hungary, in Austria, in Poland, in Lithuania, in Latvia and Estonia, the Baltic states, in Bulgaria, in Portugal, in Spain, in Romania, in Venezuela, in Peru, in Bolivia, and Brazil. If the fascists claimed to be the wave of the future, they could point to this wave of dictatorships to back them up. In many countries, however, especially the Western democracies, whose state didn't always appear, especially in economic crisis, to be as stable as might otherwise be the case, fascist movements gained some popularity but remained largely on the fringes. The French Cross of Fire organization, or the British Union of British Fascists, led by Sir Oswald Mosley, certainly gained notoriety but little influence. The extent to which they copied the fascist model of Mussolini tended to make them appear out of place and very derivative, and it made them clearly the objects of derision. They could be poked fun at, as in the movie The Great Dictator of Charlie Chaplin. Other satire could also capture some of the ludicrous pretensions of these fascist style movements and the extent to which they were imitations of Mussolini's original. One particular example that I'd like to share with you is that of the classic comic novels of the British writer P.G. Wodehouse. This master of the comic form included in his novels one recurring character, a buffoon, a would-be dictator of England by the name of Roderick Spode. This Roderick Spode, a clear imitator of Mussolini's model of the fascist seizure of power, aspired to bring together his own followers and to follow a March on Rome model within Great Britain. However, it was discovered that he was merely one of a whole wave of dictators who were so common in the time, Wodehouse argued, that by the time Roderick Spode got around to outfitting and uniforming his followers, all of the black shirts, all of the shirts of other colors had already been sold out at the department stores, and thus Spode's followers were reduced to buying black shorts. Their official name of this ludicrous collection, the Black Shorts, their official name was the Saviors of Britain, which had, as you'll notice, the unfortunate acronym of SOBs. The appeal of the model of fascist government, which had been poked fun at in such effective ways by Wodehouse and others, however, was not entirely a joke when one considers the extent to which it would have influence in a time of crisis in Europe. That appeal would grow stronger with the advent of the Great Depression in 1929, spelling the end of that brief era of greater stability from 1924 to 1929 that we'd mentioned in an earlier lecture. It seemed that the democracy was incapable in many cases, in the minds of many contemporaries, to deal with the challenges of economic freefall. By 1939, three-fifths of European countries were run by authoritarian governments. The democratic post-war wave had given way to a surging tide of dictatorships. The Italian fascists would also inspire the German Nazis, who would build a far stronger, in many ways more efficient, and more violent regime. The 1930s as a whole would appear as a time of a wave of dictatorships, fading democracy, and a dark decade indeed, which we'll examine in more detail in our next lecture.